hardly seen Blake since it happened, since the ugliness of it all. But she wanted to get things back on track. So, there they sat, angle parked on a balding embankment, staring at the misty line where the horizon met a squally sea. Two cupcakes were perched on a rain-splattered packet on the dash, one pink, the other blue. Abby pulled out two candles and stabbed one in each. Blake had the car windows down an inch, and gusts of salty air shot inside. Ironically, his police vehicle, with dash cam and radio, was the only place they could really be alone. "Let me guess," he said, grabbing the pastel pink cake. "This one's mine." Icing shards landed on his starched, eggshell blue uniform as she flicked her rain-soaked hair. "Well, you were always the prissy one." His eyebrows arched, the way they had for his Miami Vice face when they were kids. "You forget, I have a gun now." Abby smirked. "Have you used it yet?" Pointed at once, rather menacingly. She blew out a laugh, and Blake did a double take. His eyes softened. "Watch out, you were almost happy there for a sec." "Happy." Abby had been impersonating it all week. She had forgotten what the real thing felt like. That light, butterfly-in-your-throat feeling she used to have every day. Now she constantly looked over her shoulder, had lost all confidence in her decision-making, felt overwhelmed with even the slightest extra task. Her eyes drifted closed as she pressed her shoulder blades against the passenger seat. She could still sit by her brother's side, hear the ocean, and eat cake. Abby was content with that. Grateful, even, under the circumstances. The wrinkled sand was speckled with splotches on the path to the shore. She watched the waves sipping at the spit and the palm trees bending, twisting in the breeze. A minibus shot past in a whine of spray, then parked on shiny bitumen at the base of the lot. The sun's rays had incubated the turtle eggs all summer, and it was nearing the end of hatching season. But the locals made sure they milked the last drop of townie money before the leaner, cooler months. The tour leader and a scrum of polo shirt-wearing camera wielders clambered from the bus and unfurled umbrellas. Abby felt privileged growing up by the sea and remembered the endless heat-haze days of Christmas holidays, eternally sunburnt shoulders stinging in the shower, sunset fry-ups, and listening to a chorus of cicadas. It felt pure and simple, living off guava and pineapple and the catch of the day. But after what they did, this sacred place had been cast in shadow. A dense cloud hovered behind her every step, and she felt it was only a matter of time before she tripped and fell in the darkness. A couple from the retirement village zipped by on a motorized golf buggy taken from the country club, the canopy flapping in the breeze. They parked beneath a shivering bottle brush, pulled out their towels, and plodded down to the swirling waves, hand in hand. "Look at those two," Abby said, "barefoot, brazen, still so in love." "Parked illegally, no rego. Plus, the bloke's wearing budgie smugglers. Now that should be illegal." "I hope I'm that happy at their age, and still married." She thought of Will. Solid, straight-talking Will. It was like her life relaxed as soon as he walked into it. Will, and the unusual circumstances in which she fell in love with him, had made her a better version of herself. God, I was lucky to find him. You know what I was like before. Blake turned to look outside. Dating dickheads, clueless and broke. Abby screwed up her nose. It wasn't that bad. You dropped out of journalism 3 times, dated a pothead who wore socks with sandals, got evicted. By the way, I still think you owe me a grand for that rental bond I lent you. Abby pretended not to hear. You had such promise in high school. Head nerd, straight A's. What happened? You know what happened. Blake sneezed. I'm getting sick. I'm sure of it. He sniffed again, as if to prove it. Whenever Blake was stressed, he'd worried he